Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome back to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, the Mercy Sisters, our programs, or about social justice. Today, my visitor is Chris Dale. Chris, a warm welcome and hi to my to our radio program.
Thank you.
Chris has had a long career in business consulting and management, working initially with one of the large international audit and accounting firms in New Zealand, Australia and England, before he came to work for about 20 years as a chief executive in New Zealand. One of these positions as a chief executive was in the health sector, working in the area of aged care hospitals, residential care and retirement villages. Today, Chris is the manager of East Auckland Home and Budget Service in Panmure. Chris Dale was one of the five key persons who spoke at the 2014 Catherine McCauley Lecture at Te Waipuna Puawai Mercy Oasis, which is a community development initiative of the Sisters of Mercy in New Zealand. The speakers were persons who work alongside with some of the most vulnerable in East Auckland. Chris, with your successful background in management and business, how did you get involved in budgeting service?
Well, Beata, when I was working in my sort of chief executive roles, one of my board chairmen was Peter Young. And so we got to know each other very well. In fact, I had known Peter for some time before that. Later on, once he realised I was available again, asked me if I would be interested in taking over managing the budget service, of which he at that time was chairing the trust board. It's an independent charitable trust. Mm-hmm. I obviously talked with him, found out a bit more about it, realised that it was doing great work in helping people who are vulnerable, who are not well off, in fact often quite poor, and bringing to them the sort of services that would help strengthen them and strengthen the community. And that was something that really touched me and something I felt I would really love to be involved with and try and contribute if I could. Mm-hmm. From my experience and my background. And so putting it together, that's how I got to be where I am.
Great.
Yeah.
And the name of your organization is East Auckland Home and Budget Service. Why did you include home in the name of your services?
Well, it's a very good question, which actually is a little bit before my time, the title. And I understand that the word home was really to try and make it, give it a more of a sort of holistic aspect, so that we're not only concerned just with the financial aspect of families and people, but we also are concerned with them in a more holistic manner, the safety of children within families, for example, and family strength at large. And to that extent, we are a gateway to other services who are specialised in perhaps other areas of helping families that we can refer clients on to. Mm-hmm. Once we're aware of, you know, their wider needs, not just the financial one.
So you tackle the whole vicious circus.
The whole circle. vicious circle, yeah, that's right.
Mm. Most budgeting advisors promote their services as help in a free, confidential and non-judgmental way. Can you tell me more about what budgeting services actually do, and in particular, of course, the East Auckland Home and Budget Service?
Well, really, budget services are a way of providing financial strength and education to the community, certainly people who are struggling. And that is what we do alongside many other really good services. We would see in a year around about 850 people. When you add in their dependents, there's probably about 2,300 that we're touching the lives of through the year. That's people who through our work will become financially more secure, we would hope, and that leads to far more stability within families. Stable families got to be good for the community, and that's the sort of work that we're involved with. The other aspect to it too, of course, is that when you consider one of the big contributors to some of the negative aspects of family life, family violence, and other sorts of antisocial behaviour, is stress, financial stress. So to the extent that we can help relieve this for people, we feel we're also contributing to bringing greater harmony within families and obviously the wider community, and that's important for us.
And do budgeting services get involved only once there are debts, or also, for example, of an individual or of a whole family, or do they also offer prevention work, education?
Well, naturally, there's a lot of people that do come to us when they're sort of at the top of the cliff of financial demise, and we haven't seen them earlier. We clearly do everything we can to help them. You know, they're under pressure, they're under stress, and we will do a lot, everything that we can to sort of sit with them, listen to them, and work out, you know, their budget and the way forward from whatever position they're in. The ideal, naturally, is to avoid people getting into that position, and we are very focused on educational initiatives, on providing support for financial literacy programs within the community. We do it ourselves. We run seminars using our own staff at Tamaki Community Link. In fact, we're talking with their clients up there. And we also do the same for interested groups around, you know, the Tamaki area. We've done it, I think, for aged care hospitals, and you know, we've approached businesses for the talk to their staff and that sort of thing. The other thing that we are very active in is recognising that there are excellent providers of educational programs in the community. We work with them to support their program by providing experienced budgeting staff to work with them on their financial literacy courses, and provides them with resource. And so, yes, we do everything we can to stop people getting to the edge of the cliff. Mm-hmm. And as time goes on and we have greater success, I think, particularly with the GFIT program, which is a collaborative arrangement across the sector, we will start to see a lot of, you know, greater financial strength perhaps a greater community strength with sort of financial knowledge. But it's a long haul. It's a long program. It's something that you need to commit to for years.
Yes. In order to get stability, you have to have it. It has to be really, has to have a good foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
And for those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Epsom. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. My visitor today is Chris Dale. Chris is the manager of East Auckland Home and Budget Service. He has been involved in budgeting service for about a year, and he has already initiated quite a few improvements in the sector. He has given us some information on what the budgeting services are all about. Now, Chris, I understand that you are part of this, what you just mentioned, the newly established GFIT, Growing Financial Independence Tamaki. Can you tell us more about this team and its work?
Yes, certainly. It's an initiative which really does have a long-term perspective, and it is the coming together of a number of providers who are all focused on the Tamaki area. We have different schools as organisations. Some are involved in education, some in counselling and social services work, people like ourselves in financial budgeting work, and so on. And what we've done is to bring all these organisations together and work out a program that we can put forward into the community, collaborating across the sectors that we operate in, and through a combined effort bring, I guess, a higher synergy of sort of effort, and looking to the outcomes, which are to improve the financial knowledge of people in the community, to give them a far better basis on which to resist perhaps some of the pressures that they're under. And when you consider that the Tamaki community, about 40% of the people living within it were not born in New Zealand, a lot of people have come in from other countries, and of course in New Zealand we have a very high component of Pacific Island people.
Can you tell us, what is the Tamaki region? What comprises the Tamaki region?
Well, we work through particularly in sort of Point England, Mount Wellington, Glen Innes, Panmure area.
Mm-hmm.
We also do have some involvement beyond that boundary, but that would be the sort of heart.
So this East Auckland area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we are dealing a lot with families, both as an organisation and I know with others who are involved with us in the growing financial independence and Tamaki movement, mm-hmm. the GFIP movement. We are involved with people quite often who come from backgrounds that they're not skilled in dealing with the financial pressures that we put under people under, you know, within our society. They come from places where they're not used to our sort of housing systems, they're not used to our money systems, the way we do things. They come here and very perhaps are vulnerable to the fringe lenders, the loan sharks, who offer apparently, you know, wonderful deals with where you can have, you know, $5,000 in your pocket today. And they don't realise the implications of the interest that they're having to, they will have to pay tomorrow. Mm. Or, you know, the retail trucks that cruise around the lower socioeconomic suburbs and, you know, put these people under pressure. This is putting families into difficult situations that, through education and better financial knowledge.
Yeah.
We hope to provide them with the tools to resist some of these things or to understand them better before they commit themselves.
Be independent of these.
Yeah.
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 You use the expression financial literacy. Does this mean that nobody has to be afraid of finances once they've learned their financial alphabet?
Well, I think, yeah, it's certainly learning the financial alphabet, as you say, is going to give people a much better basis on which to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
We know from the data that, the recent OECD report, that approximately 25% of Māori students and 44% of Pacifica students in New Zealand have very poor knowledge of financial matters. That's a concern.
And this is a generation that has been growing up here.
Yes. So these people are coming through into positions where they are making decisions that affect their own, you know, finances and their own sort of life. So we've got a lot of work to do to get on top of this and really build into these people financial knowledge and understanding, and really try and get them into a place where they are not going to get trapped by the sort of pressures that are in the community that I've been mentioning before.
And that they are aware that there are contracts that are binding.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we have, unfortunately, there are people out there, there are companies out there who, it's within the law, but they target lower socioeconomic communities, people who are not attractive to the mainstream banks, the fringe lenders, the loan sharks, who will provide easy money for these people who often operate out of what they want to get, not necessarily what they actually need. And bear in mind, they come often out of backgrounds where they didn't have access to quite so many products and things that they could they could avail themselves of. So they take on a lot of debt, and this attracts very high interest, and there's a penalty to pay for that.
Yeah. And you talked about loan sharks already, and you mentioned the money lenders who lend money without any transparency regarding the interests that are going to be charged. What is your experience, and can you give me examples?
Well, they really are a plague on our society to a degree, I believe. You know, we've had situations where clients have gone into one of the loan shark companies needing to have their car fixed, so they don't have the money. So they go in to borrow, say, $1,000 to repair their car. And once the staff in the lending institution realise that's what it's for, they've said to them, "Oh, why don't you just borrow, you know, $8,000 and get another car?" So, unfortunately, you know, these people get taken in by that, and they say, "All right, you know, I'll do that. Where do I sign?" So now we've got somebody who's got a car that doesn't work, needs fixing, who now gets another car that they can't afford, because they don't do credit checks. They don't look into the background of these people, how much money they're earning, or often their beneficiaries. They can't afford it. That part will change. Next year, the Credit Contracts and Consumer Finance Amendment Act comes into force, and it will require these sort of lenders to do credit checks, background checks, and to take on the mantle of a so-called responsible lender. But in the meantime, a lot of damage has been done. And I guess our concern, even next year, is once the Amendment Act forces them to become responsible lenders and perhaps, you know, become a bit more ethical in their practice, there will still be, within the communities that we work with, the unregulated lenders. We know they're out there, garage lenders, people who deal in cash out of the back pocket. The fear is that some of our clients will be forced to go to those people to get their loans, and that's perhaps even worse, unfortunately.
And in your talk at Te Wai Puna Puawa, you mentioned the trucks, and you also mentioned them now. What are they?
Well, they are literally trucks that are effectively mobile shops that drive around the streets. Again, we notice they target the lower socioeconomic suburbs and the communities that we're serving. And typically they offer quite highly priced goods, could be all kinds of things, electronic goods, clothing, foodstuffs, you know, right across the range. They will offer these things on credit terms, so you don't have to have the cash. You can, you know, buy today and pay tomorrow. But there is a convenience factor with those things, because some of our people, it's not so easy for them to go out to shopping centres and so on. So to have a truck come to the door, there is a convenience factor.
But then they don't have a comparison.
Well, a concern for us is that the terms on which they're buying these things is really quite adverse for them. And we've even had an example not so long ago of a client who received a letter from one of these truck companies to say, well, you know, you have $281 available. Next time the truck comes round, you know, you could use that. Nowhere in the letter does it actually say that that's a credit available. It's effectively a loan that you could use, to which charges and interest will be added. It's never made clear in the letter. So, of course, the sort of clients that we have don't fully understand that, and they think, oh, I've got $280-odd I could spend. And they do.
They think it's a lottery.
Yeah. So it's a trap.
Yeah. And can you give us an example of how you could help and support these people who, well, who live in these areas where the trucks come and who are most vulnerable when it comes to moneylenders?
Well, there's a number of things that we've considered. I mean, obviously, education, again, is one of the issues. If we can get people to a far better knowledge of understanding how money works and the you know, the impacts of interest and charges.
So did you manage to get people to say, no, don't, I'm not going to sign anything unless I speak to my budget advisor?
Well, that's always a nice way to go. The other kind of things that we've wondered about is to encourage perhaps other groups who are working in the social services sector, you know, for example, the Salvation Army, people like that, whether they would be interested in operating such a service, because then it would be done ethically and that would be quite a difference.
Can you give me an example of how high the interests are that are charged by these moneylenders?
Yes, certainly. There are two things with that. One is that some deals, they say that there's no interest, but then when you look at the charges that are applying, really there is a huge amount of interest involved because they're flat rate charges on fairly small amounts of principal. But in terms of interest, it can go up to even 400 or so percent, we have seen.
400%?
We have, yeah.
Ooh. And do you offer your services only in East Auckland?
Yes, we are focused on East Auckland, on the Tamaki area, yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you link with other budgeting services in Auckland or New Zealand and share your experiences of GFIT?
Well, we certainly do work with other people. We're members of both Christian Budgeting New Zealand and Auckland Budgeting Consultants. And, you know, so we do meet with other budgeting providers and exchange information and, of course, share with each other on what experiences are going on out there.
Mm-hmm.
We also, as I've indicated earlier with the GFIT group, meet regularly, I think every month, you know, we'd be meeting with them, all of us together. So we have a very strong network, all of us, you know, working together. Yeah,
that's good. Mm. And to me, the name GFIT, Growing Financial Independence Tamaki, this sounds very good. The name already speaks of empowering rather than just helping. And do you think that out of this empowering, a stronger community will emerge to be able to fight for a better protection of the financial vulnerable in New Zealand?
Absolutely. And one of the benefits of it too that we expect to see happening in the long run is that we are developing coaches, and I mean Tamaki Redevelopment Company, who are part of GFIT, are actively engaged in that, alongside Massey University, who are also part of GFIT. And these are people who come from the same sort of ethnic backgrounds who are being trained to get alongside their own people and teach them better financial understanding, and we totally support that. Yeah,
that's great. And if you start with one generation, then the next generation that's coming up will be already better prepared.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you very much, Chris. It was very good to hear what you're doing. It's very interesting. In Exodus 22:25, it says, "If you lend money to any of my people with you who is poor, you shall not be like a moneylender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him." I think that this quote expresses very well our moral obligation towards those who are financially in a difficult situation. Your work makes people aware and strong so that they are less likely to be victims of dubious moneylenders. Thank you very much, Chris.
Okay, thank you, Beata.
And for our listeners, if you want to hear more about Chris and his work, you're invited to a workshop hosted by ADCOS. This workshop is called Responsible Lending Workshop and will take place at Western Springs on the 25th of November from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. And what's coming up in our Mercy Spirituality Center? Well, we have on the 21st of November, a Friday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., a retreat day with Andrew Pritchard with the title In Seeing, a day for nourishing the hungry heart through contemplative engagement with creation and creativity. And on Saturday, 22nd of November, we repeat the workshop of Spirituality and Social Justice with Stephen Tolstrup. This is a participatory workshop which is especially useful for all those who want to take a day off out of the demanding social ministry to be refreshed, encouraged through discovering fresh perspectives and insights. The workshop will be, the retreat day will be on the 22nd of November from 9:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Booking is essential. If you need some time for discernment, find out what you can do, you might consider spending some time at our Mercy Spirituality Center. We offer retreats, Christian meditation, and spiritual companioning. But we also have a very interesting program which you can access through our website, www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. For any feedback on my interviews, please contact me at muffintalk840@gmail.com. And for any questions regarding any of the events or regarding the interviews, you can also call me at 09 for Auckland, 638-6238. So I wish you all a good Friday and a good week ahead, and I hope to see you in the Mercy Spirituality Center. And thank you very much, Chris Dale.
Thank you. your language.